Chapter 3. Prana's lips were pillow soft as she pressed them against mine, and I couldn't help but move my hands to her waist. Just as I grabbed onto her, though, she pushed me away, and our lips made a soft popping noise as they parted.
I'll see you soon.
She looked at me with intense brown eyes, and then she was gone, and I was left standing outside the castle door with my hands outstretched and my hips pressed against a waist that was no longer there.
Phil!
Oh, I turned to the redhead and blinked, but I couldn't think of what to say. I hadn't intended for that kiss to happen, and I certainly hadn't intended for Ira to see it.
It's all right. Prana clearly surprised you with that one.
Yes, she did. I nodded and looked back at the door the sorceress had just disappeared through.
Come on,
Ira said, and she grabbed my hand and pulled me down the steps.
We need to get back to Alfheim.
Yeah, I know. You're right, I agreed, even though my head was still spinning. Blah suddenly perked up on my shoulder and reminded me that he was there and had witnessed the entire kiss with Prana. Ira didn't say anything else as we walked around the castle to the woods out back, which was good, because all I could think about was the kiss Prana had just sprung on me. Oh, her lips were so soft, and she tasted floral and sweet, like flower nectar or tea with honey. I wanted more of her, and I knew she wanted more of me. Once we were far enough away from the castle, Blah opened a portal for us and brought us back to Alfheim, only a few hundred yards away from our campsite. Oh, well done, I told the little blue reptile, but he just smacked his lips, hopped off my shoulder, and flew over to the fire by Kaas and Asta.
Hey, dinner's ready.
Blar seems to have figured that out already.
He always does. We walked over to the fire, and I could smell the aroma of Kaas's cooking. It smelled even better than the last time she'd cooked, so I figured that spell she'd looked up did its job. Otherwise, I probably would have been smelling more burning food than anything else.
How did it go?
Kaas asked as Ira and I approached.
Prana kissed Rath,
Ira said coolly, and she turned to flash me a half-smile. Ira? My eyes went wide, and I was shocked the warband leader would tell my business so freely.
Oh, calm down,
the redhead said and rolled her eyes.
We've all had you before. They have a right to know.
My cheeks flushed at her words.
I knew she wanted you,
Kaas said with a grin.
Oh, definitely.
Asta nodded.
I'm surprised she didn't do that sooner.
Well, am I the only one who was surprised by this?
Seems like it.
Kaas shrugged and turned to Ira.
Did they say you could stay?
Of course. They said they would replace me indefinitely.
Oh, good,
Asta said, and her smile crinkled around her eyes.
Oh, hey, what did Prana want to talk to you about when we were there?
Ira asked as she turned back to me.
It wasn't about the kiss.
That came after.
Ira laughed, but then her eyes darted to my face.
Or did it? Did she kiss you in her chambers, too?
What, no? I shook my head and sat down by the fire. She gave me this amulet. I pulled the small crystal from under my tunic and held it out for the girls to see.
Oh, how pretty,
Asta said, and she reached out and stroked the stone.
What does it do?
Oh, it lights up when she needs to speak to me.
And when you need to speak to her, too, I'm guessing?
Yeah, that's right. I nodded.
That will be nice to have around. We've needed a way to tell when it's time to update the council on things. Are you sure she didn't just give it to you so you'd think about her?
Pretty sure, I retorted with a grin.
Prana's so pretty, and she's nice too. I like her.
Doesn't everybody?
The golden-haired sorceress had a reputation for being kind, and some even said her beauty rivaled Freya's. To me, she was even more beautiful, but I certainly wouldn't say that to the Queen of Asgard.
Oh!
Asta gasped, and she bounced up and down on the log the girls had turned into a seat.
How did the council like the new baby dragon? I'm sure Svas loved the attention.
Oh, they loved her, of course, I said with a smile, and I leaned over to see the little female still curled up around Ira's neck. She was so still and pristinely beautiful in her sleep that she almost looked like a golden necklace rather than a living creature.
She seemed to like Bear the best.
Oh yes, I can see that.
Cass nodded.
Bear is very calm and soft-spoken. I think it would make sense she would like him. But Ira is neither of those things.
Asta tilted her head to the side.
And Svas likes her? Well, shite. I didn't realize I was so crazy. How could you not?
Asta asked, seriously, and her eyebrows pulled together with concern, since she didn't realize Ira was kidding.
I don't know. I guess I just never noticed.
Blar's feet landed on my knee, and when I looked down at him, he nodded to the pot over the fire and then looked back at me. Yes, I see it, I told him, and I reached down to scratch his chin. I suppose it's time for dinner.
Oh, yes, of course.
Car said, and she quickly pulled the pot off the flames and started to dish up bowls. The strawberry blonde made bowls for Ira, Asta, and myself, and then she dished up four bowls of various sizes for the dragons and set them on the ground near the fire. Bla ran over to his bowl and began to devour the food immediately. Little bits sprayed out around him as he chomped down, and his tail swished back and forth happily. Inga was right behind him, and she ate with the same ferocity as her blue friend did. I could hear the two of them chewing loudly and gulping down bite after bite, and I chuckled and shook my head. Blar and Inga eating was not a pleasant sound, but it was one I was used to, and one I found somewhat amusing. Ufe slowly made his way over to his bowl and started to take small, careful bites. The little red male looked around curiously as he ate, and I shook my head at the stark difference between him and the other two. Svas? I said, and I reached over and gently stroked the small yellow dragon's head. Are you hungry? At the mention of food, the little dragon perked up immediately.
Go eat,
Ira said, and she pointed to the bowls. Svas looked at the bowls, then at Ira, then me, then the bowls again. After a moment of deliberation, she laid her head back down on Ira and let out a little sigh. Oh, I see. I nodded and stood up so I could retrieve Ufe and Svas's bowls. The little red dragon followed me over to the opposite side of the fire, and I set his bowl down and then put Svas's bowl just a few feet away. How's that? I asked the little yellow dragon, and she nodded and scurried down Ira's arm to the log and then the ground. She quickly made her way over to her bowl, and Ufe turned to smile at her before he continued to eat. Svas sniffed her food before she took a small bite. Once that bite hit her tongue, though, her head perked up, and she thrust her tiny head into the bowl to devour her food as she hopped up and down happily. I understood Inga and Bla intimidated her, but she looked like she'd fit right in on their side of the fire.
At least she likes it. I guess that means the spell worked. Hey, if it means the food tastes better, then why not? You, or a sorceress.
Ira shrugged.
May as well put those powers to good use.
Exactly.
Cass smiled and handed us our bowls. I breathed in the scent of the stew and closed my eyes as I let out a small sigh. It smelled delicious. I didn't care if it had a spell cast on it or not. Cars had done a good job. The stew consisted of some fish, cabbage, carrots, peppers, and broth. I could smell some spices in there, too, and when I took a sip of the broth, I was pleasantly surprised by how rich and hearty it was. Oh, this is good, I told Cars.
I'm glad you like it.
She smiled and took a bite from her bowl. As I ate my stew, I watched Svas eat hers, and I wondered if she would have powers like the other three dragons. I supposed all dragons had powers to some extent, but most didn't have as much power as Bla, Inga, and Ufe did. twin dragons were especially powerful, and they were said to all have complementary powers, like Inga and Ufe's air and earth powers. The little girl hadn't left Ira's side, and we'd only had her a few hours, so I hadn't seen any indication of special powers.
Oh, Rat! Are you trying to see through her eyes?
Kaas asked, and she leaned forward in her seat with a huge grin on her face. What? My eyebrows pinched together. No, I was just thinking about whether or not she'll have powers. The strawberry blonde mused, and she pursed her lips.
I hadn't really thought about that. Can you control her like the other dragons, since you didn't hatch her, I mean?
I don't see why I wouldn't be able to, I said, but I grew concerned all the same.
You can't control Nidhogg, though, right?
Well, that's true, but Nidhogg is ancient.
Right. I doubt he qualifies as a dragon anymore. He's more like a god or something. You should give it a try.
Ira said with a nod at the Svas.
Try to make her do something.
Okay. What should I have her do?
Make her spin in a circle.
Asta gasped, and she clapped her hands together quickly. Right, circle it is. I focused on the little girl. Svas, spin around for me, please. The little girl quickly spun in a circle, and she continued to chew her food the whole time.
That was good. At least we know that works. She's so cute.
She is. I agreed with a smile.
What about seeing through her eyes?
I haven't tried. I've only really done it in my dreams.
Yeah, and it was difficult when you tried to do it with Blar. But you hadn't had your power very long then. And besides, I think it would be better to try with a dragon you aren't so attached to.
Why is that?
I guess I don't know anything in particular that would make me think that.
Kaas pursed her lips.
My gut just tells me it would be easier to connect with a dragon you don't know very well. Knowing the dragon might make it so you're less open since you're expecting them to behave or feel a certain way.
I can see where you're coming from. That's a good point.
Try it!
Asta urged with a huge smile.
I bet you can do it.
It had been a week or so since I found out I could see through the eyes of dragons, and in that time we'd managed to take out some dragon dealers, but I hadn't had a lot of time to practice and harness my new ability yet. Well, I figured now was as good of a time as any, so I closed my eyes and focused on Svas. I could feel her presence, and I could sense her feelings, but that was all. I took a deep breath as I opened my mind, and I blocked out all the sounds around me, until I felt completely numb to the outside world. I could barely feel my body, though I knew where it was, and I was vaguely aware of what was happening around me. At first, all I could feel was blackness, but then something happened. It started with the smell of the stew. The scent hit my nostrils hard, and it was followed by the mirthful smell of the ground beneath me. Next, I could hear something, a small sort of swishing sound. I wasn't sure what it was, but then I realized it was Ufe chewing. I took another deep breath and opened my eyes to the sight of a small bowl of food in front of me. I leaned down and took another bite, and then I looked up and over at Ufe, who stood next to me and slowly ate his food. I was doing it. I was seeing through Svas's eyes. I could sense her emotions, too. She was happy and contented, and the food filled her belly and warmed her from the inside out. A small smile came over my face as I took in the little dragon's experience. But then suddenly my head began to pound. I blinked, and I was back in my own body again.
You did it, didn't you?
Kaas asked, and she leaned forward on the makeshift bench and grinned at me again. I did, I confirmed with a smile.
Oh, that's so great!
Asta cheered, and she clapped her hands and smiled wide.
You're one step closer to being able to do it whenever you want.
You're right, I agreed, and my smile widened until my cheeks began to hurt. It was easy to be ecstatic about something with Asta around. The white-haired elf girl smiled so easily, and her happiness was contagious. This ability really would be a big help for us, especially when it came to freeing dragons in captivity. If I was able to see exactly where they were and experience what they were experiencing, I'd know how to better help them. My dream, where I saw through the eyes of the dragon in the Elf King's dungeon, had only informed me there was a dragon in trouble. It wasn't until asked to recognize the dungeon that we'd known where the dragon was located. If I'd been able to control the ability, though, I could have stayed there longer and possibly figured it out for myself. I needed to keep working to harness this ability. My powers were the greatest asset we had against the dragon trade. After dinner was over, I helped Kaas wash off the bowls and put them back in the cart. Then I retrieved the blankets and laid them out near the fire. But before I even got them all set up, Blar and Inger made their way over to them and plopped down. "You know you'll have to make room for me on there, right?" I asked with a raised eyebrow. But the blue little dragon just fake snored and rolled away from me. Ufe curled up at the foot of Kaas's bed, and Svas looked around in a slight panic for a second, before following Ufe and curling up next to his back. Ufe didn't seem to mind, since he just raised his head to look at her, smiled, and then lowered it. It seemed she was drawn to his calming presence, like she'd been to Bea's when we visited the castle. "All right," I said after the beds were made. "You girls get some sleep. I'll take the first watch."
"Thank you, Wrath,"
Asta said, and she crawled sleepily over to the bed and laid down. Her eyes were closed before they even hit the pillow, and as soon as she was comfortable, Inga crawled up to lay next to her. Blar was still sprawled out across the bed, but at least his snores were real now. Ira yawned and crawled under the blankets, too, and Svas made her way up to the pillow so she could curl up in the redhead's long hair. Both women seemed to be asleep after just a few seconds, and I shook my head at how tired they must have been. We'd had a long few days, though, so I couldn't blame them for being exhausted. "Why don't you get some sleep, too?" I asked Kaas. The beautiful Valkyrie girl stared into the fire, but she looked up at me with bright violet eyes when I spoke.
"I will in a few minutes,"
she answered with a smile. "Oh, not tired?"
"It's just been a few long days,"
she said, and then she stood up and came across the fire to sit next to me.
"I figured we're less likely to wake them with our talking if we're next to each other."
"Oh, yes, good point," I nodded. "Oh, it has been a long few days, but I appreciate all you've done. And dinner tonight was delicious."
"Thank you."
The strawberry blonde flashed me a grin.
"I think I just need to relax before bed."
"Oh." My eyebrows pinched together. "Is there something I can do to help?"
"Definitely,"
Kaas said, and she reached over and put her hand on mine. Then the Valkyrie looked up at me with lustful violet eyes as she bit her lip. "Oh," I gulped as my stomach did a flip. The touch of Kaas's skin sent a shiver down my spine, and my heart rate accelerated when I looked down at her heaving chest.
"I want you,"
she whispered, and she leaned forward and kissed my neck. "I want you too," I whispered back, and I ran my hand up her arm to the back of her neck so I could pull her to me. My mouth captured hers, and she let out a little sigh that only served to bring my erection to life. Kaas's hands tangled into my hair, and she pulled it out of its ponytail and ran her nails all over my scalp before she pulled them down the length of my back. I thrust my tongue into Kaas's mouth, and she met me with an equal fervor. She wanted me, bad, and I could feel it in how panicked her tongue was as it swirled around mine. I slid my hands down to her waist and pulled her close to me so her body was pressed against mine. I could feel her ample breasts against my chest, and I slid my hands down even further so I could grab her perfect ass. Kaas groaned as she broke our kiss and tore in a ragged breath. Then the Valkyrie quickly straddled me and started to kiss down my neck.
I want you so bad.
Oh, you're so sexy. I growled as I took in the sight of her on top of me, and I grabbed onto the bottom of her tunic and pulled it over her head. Garth shook out her mane of curls, and in the firelight she looked absolutely stunning. The orange glow of the flames reflected on her strawberry blonde locks and her pale skin, and desire burned through my veins like a wildfire. Her full breasts were on display for me, and her small pink nipples were already taut with desire, and I leaned forward and took one of them into my mouth, and I felt Gas arch her back in response.
Oh, yes.
She groaned as her legs gripped my hips tighter.
Oh, that feels so good.
I used my tongue to toy with Gas's nipple, and I gripped her hips and pulled her down so I could feel the heat of her pussy through my pants. Cass ground her hips against mine and arched her back further as I kissed over to her other nipple so I could pull it into my mouth.
I can feel you against me.
She panted as she ground her hips against my cock. I was as hard as a rock, and the feel of Cass's pussy against me was driving me crazy. I ran my hand around to her soft belly and then down to her curly hair that was already soaked with her sweet juices. My fingers worked their way to her slick pussy, and I let out a low groan at how wet she was before I slipped a finger inside of her.
Fuck!
Gas gasped as my finger entered her, and because of our soul bond I could feel her pleasure as if it were my own. I pushed my finger deeper into her, and she pressed her hips down onto my hand. After a moment, I worked another finger into her, and she let out a low moan and arched her back as she gripped my shoulders and dug her nails into my soft flesh.
No, please, Rat. I want you so bad.
Oh, you're so wet. I groaned, and I moved my fingers in and out of her slowly before I bent down to lick her proud little clit.
Oh, that feels so good.
She moaned, and her wild hair flayed out around her face as she moved her head from side to side and took in the feel of my fingers inside of her slick pussy and my tongue massaging her sensitive nub. I continued to devour my lover's sweet juices until her entire body tensed with anticipation. Her nails dug in deep to my shoulders, and she threw her head back and pulled in ragged breaths.
Don't stop, I'm going to come.
Cass's words trailed off as her body tensed, and her pussy spasmed on my fingers. Her mouth was pulled into a perfect O shape, and her eyes were clenched shut as she rode out the waves of her pleasure. Her experience overtook me, and I felt her pleasure as if it were my own. My eyes fluttered closed as I took in all the feelings Cass was going through. But then a loud sound startled me, and my eyes popped open. I glanced around quickly, only to find Ira standing a few feet away with a canteen in her hand.
Hi.
Well, this was awkward.